Would you turn with me, please, to 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 15? Just a simple message this morning, 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 15. It reads like this: thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. I think that text somehow sums up Christmas, or what it's supposed to be about. Thanks be to God. This is a time to thank God. For what? For his indescribable gift. Beyond words. It doesn't mean we're not to talk about it or try to describe it. But it is so wonderful and beautiful that it is beyond adequate description. And so, because God is the great gift giver, we give gifts at Christmas time. It says of the Lord, every good and perfect gift is from above, from the Father of heavenly lights. And God gives generously to all. Jesus said, our heavenly Father gives good gifts to his children. So that's why I'm sure you're giving this Christmas time. It is more blessed to give, says the Bible, than to receive. So I want to be very simple in this message this morning, that everyone could understand what I have to say. And just think of some of the people you and I might be giving gifts to this Christmas, and how it compares with God's giving. First of all, you might be giving to the number one very special person in your life, if you have such a person. Somebody that you love more than anyone else in the whole world. Somebody who is very, very close to you. And you take great thought and care what you're going to give to this person. Now, you may not have such a person, or you may have. But in that case, it's not a quick bar of soap, is it? It's not just a small box of candy, so something hastily obtained. There's love and sacrifice goes into it. You spend time as well as money when it comes to this person's gift. Maybe you plan it for months ahead. You start thinking long before December what you're going to buy or make or give to this special person at Christmas time, because they deserve that from you. Well, God has such a person. And his name, of course, is Jesus, his own son. And the Father gave him a gift. John 17 and verse 2, Jesus speaks of giving eternal life to all those, he says, you have given him. You have given me, in other words. He's speaking about a group of people whom God the Father has given to him as a gift. I have revealed you, he says, to those you gave me out of the world. Now, he's not only thinking about Matthew and Peter and James and John and Joanna and Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, and all those people who were actually close to him and with him when he walked the earth, because he goes on to say, oh, and there are lots more people. People whom will hear about me, will come to me, believe in me, and will be saved. So that includes you and me. In other words, we're talking about the church. The worldwide millions and millions of true Christians from all over the world. And that group of people is God the Father's gift to his very, very special number one person, his son, Jesus Christ. Now, there are three rather unusual things then about this gift. And the first is this: it's an ugly bunch of people to give to his son as a special, number one, top of the list gift. I don't mean in appearance. You all look very, very nice, very handsome, pretty. But we're talking about the heart of men. Because it's true of every last one of all these people, however many millions there may be, and however long the world lasts until Jesus comes again, all the people that God the Father has given to his son are not really, by nature, a pretty bunch of people. Because sin is an ugly thing to God. Now, it may not be an ugly thing to you and me, because we're part of it, we're sinners, but it's an ugly thing to God. It's repulsive to him. He's revolted by sin. Now, you and I sometimes are, just occasionally perhaps, we see something that is absolutely revolting. It's gross. We see somebody do something, like perhaps to a child, and we are absolutely incensed. Or we read about it in the newspaper. Have you never read about something in the newspaper of what was done, and you feel your blood boils with anger, indignation? You want that person to be brought to justice and to be prevented from ever doing anything like that again. Remember that woman was jogging in Central Park, New York, and was severely beaten within a millimeter of her life. And we read about those things from time to time, and other kinds of sins. And when we read about them, we are incensed. But it's a picture always to me about how God feels about all sin. Of course, he feels that way about that sin. But he feels that way about sins that we might pass by and not even notice. Pride, self-righteousness, selfishness, ingratitude, idolatry, lust, you name it, there are thousands that aren't there, and many of us have some of those sins in our hearts, and we are the kind of people that God gave to his son as a gift. So that's why I say it's a strange gift, an ugly bunch, an ugly gift. When you're going out planning and saving money or whatever you do for that very special person in your life who's going to get your very best, wow, what you're going to give them is usually beautiful. And the more beautiful, the better. But in this strange gift, it's the opposite. Now, let me say that the Lord then begins to make his ugly gift beautiful. And one of the things the Lord does with the present that God the Father has given to him is to turn an ugly thing into a beautiful thing. It works the other way sometimes with us, doesn't it? We get a beautiful gift at Christmas time, but alas, it doesn't stay that way, at least not always with me. I love to get silk ties. I love silk ties. I love to feel them. You know. But it usually isn't very long before my hot fudge sundae finds its way down the middle of my new beautiful silk tie. I begin to think they were invented for my gravy spills or whatever. I'm glad there's some other men that have the same problem. And so they have to go to the cleaners, and then they sort of lose something, and gradually over the time, perhaps by a couple of more Christmases, that wonderful gift that was so special isn't quite so beautiful as it was. It's the other way around, or should be, with the gift that God gave to his son. A second thing that's unusual about it is that Jesus had to pay for his gift. What a strange thing it would be if you, tomorrow or tonight or whenever you give these gifts, you gave a special number one sacrificial present to the person you love the most and then said, now you have to go and pay for it. They'd say, well, thanks a lot. Big deal. That's no gift at all. And yet, that's what happened. That's why we sing about the cross. Because the crib leads to the cross. Jesus came and became a baby that he might become a man, that he might die on the cross. Why was he dying on the cross? He was dying on the cross to pay for his gift. He says, of every believer that comes to him, you are bought with a price. What price? His own blood. His own life. He said, the Son of Man came to give his life as a ransom for many. The third thing that's unusual about this gift is that he will never lose it or any part of it. Never lose it or any part of it. This is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all that he has given me. Is that lovely? Let me just say this to you, Christian brother, sister. You must be very special to God too. You must be very valuable to God and to his son, because if, in spite of your ugly sin, you're the best present that God the Father could give to his son. In spite of the fact that he had to come and pay for you with his own blood, you're worth it. You're so worth it that he'll never let you go. That's value. So the first thing is, you might be giving a special gift to the special number one person in your life. But then secondly, you might be giving to the rest of the family, of course, mightn't you? You may be giving more than one gift this Christmas. One member of our church was telling me they've gone away to celebrate Christmas with their family. There are over 100 in their family. I don't know how they can remember all their names, let alone buy presents or gifts for them all. They hire a school. And they all come every Christmas from miles around to eat dinner and to have a party and to celebrate together as a family. I didn't envy him, actually, when he told me that. Because it takes long enough, doesn't it, and planning enough sometimes if you have a smaller family and you have to think of them, and some of us have family far away. My daughter's 3,000 miles away. This Christmas time we hope to hear from her on the telephone. We care about families at Christmas time and we want to give them a gift and think of them. Some of the most valuable gifts are not measured in money, are they? But thoughtfulness and time and effort. I don't want to embarrass my daughter Nicola, but I don't think she knows this, but some years ago she gave me a present that I valued very, very much indeed. She was just a high school kid at the time, so she didn't have much pocket money. But she had heard me say from time to time when the music was playing in our house, and music seemed to be playing in our house all the time, "Oh, I like that song. Out of the top 20 pop hits, that's a nice song. I like that song." She made a note of it. Then she'd hear me say, "Oh, I like that song." Another week, she made a note of it. So she went out and bought a tape, a blank tape, and every time that one of these songs came on that I liked, she recorded it. I hope we're not breaking any laws here. Well, it's allowed in England. It's allowed. And then on Christmas, when I opened my present, it just said something like this: "Golden oldies for you." And it wasn't that that cost a lot of money. It was that she had thought about it, she had custom made it, she had planned it, she'd taken trouble over such a long time to get it for me, and therefore it was probably the most valuable thing that I received in a long time. And I know that many of you think the same. We have a member of staff here and I never see her, but she isn't sewing and doing cross stitch and everything, and I think she starts in January for next December. But I'm sure everybody who receives one of those gifts values it because it's been specially made. Now, you may be giving a gift for somebody to play with, for entertainment. Might be a tape, or it might be a toy, a train for daddy, or whatever you're going to do. Or it might be something to beautify the person. Might be a piece of jewelry, might be a perfume or something like that, make them smell nice. People buy me things to make me smell nice. I wonder if they're trying to tell me something sometimes. Or it may be something useful: shirt, shoes, for mother, a cookbook, if you're trying to tell her something. Or it might be for daddy, a toolbox. Please nobody buy me a toolbox. When I was a boy, I hated those useful gifts. We were very poor, and it was also wartime, so we were rationed, and things were scarce. And then it came to, I like to feel my present, you know, see if I could tell in advance what it was going to be. And I could tell, oh, socks. Socks. That's not a gift to me, that's a gift to my dad, so that he doesn't have to go and buy me socks. And I like the people best who gave me something. Now, God gives gifts to all his family, and they're not toys, and they're not jewelry, they're ministry gifts. Listen to 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 4. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one there is given through the Spirit, so on. Did you get the point? They're all given to minister to other people. That's what the gifts are. They're cookbooks or they're toolkits. They're not adornment or playthings. God gives gifts to all his family, and he says this is a usable gift. Use it for the common good, for everybody, all your brothers and sisters. 1 Peter 4:10. Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others. Do you have a speaking gift or a teaching gift? Well, then use it to serve your fellow men and your brothers and sisters in the church. That's what it was given for. It's a ministry gift. Do you have a giving gift? Well, we all must give, but God has called some and maybe prospered them accordingly. Give them a good job with good pay or special inheritance or special bonuses or something, because he's called them to especially the gift and ministry of giving. Do you have a praying gift? Well, we're all to pray, but some people are given a special gift and ministry of prayer. Somebody drove a long way last night just to be with me and pray with me in my office for 15 minutes in the midst of his very busy life, so that the Lord might bless us here today. Is it a hospitality gift? Is it an organizing gift? Is it a helping gift? Somebody wrote me a letter through the week to say that he was trained and qualified and employed in the business of communication and publicity and promotion and that kind of thing. Could we use that gift and those gifts as our part of our church ministry? Hallelujah. And I believe that all the gaps we have in our church life where things are not being done, it's probably because somebody is sitting on their gift. They were given the gift. And God said, no, I've fully equipped the whole church to get everything done. But the trouble is that Joe Blow or Jennifer Block, she did her gift. She unwrapped her gift and said, oh, I don't want that. I don't want socks. You know, I don't want a toolkit. I don't want to be a giver or a helper or an administrator or a teacher or an encourager or a visitor. I want something that will make me look good. I want something that will make me feel good. So I'm just going to put that gift on the shelf and leave it there. Do you have a music gift in the choir? Do you have a painting gift, a drawing gift, a printing gift, an artistic gift? There's no gift that's useless. Maybe there's somebody here you haven't even opened your gift. 2 Timothy 1:6, stir up the gift that is in you. See, even a Timothy could neglect his gift. By the way, if you use it properly, it will make you beautiful. And it will make you smell good. There's a fragrance about the life of those who serve their fellow men and their brothers and sisters in the church. A fragrance, a perfume about their lives that is second to none. And also, you'll enjoy it. You really will. So, you will no doubt be giving something to someone very special, if you have such a one. You might be giving to the rest of the family, but lastly, you might be giving to many others. Friends, of course. Enemies. Well, it's a good idea to give to enemies. God does. You say, well, I don't give to my enemies. Well, God does. Listen to Matthew 5. You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun, S-U-N, to rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? If you only give gifts because you'll get one back, if you only love people because they love you back, that's good, that's fine. But there's nothing very special about that. He's talking to Christians, you see. Here's where your Christianity really starts, that you love people who don't love you back. And you give to people who've got nothing that they can ever give back to you, save perhaps their gratitude, and maybe they won't even give you that. Is anybody here this morning, and you, this Christmas, you know you have an enemy. There's a bit of a feud. going on between you and somebody else. Oh, my friend, it isn't worth it. It really isn't. Send them a card. Call them on the phone. Give them an apology. Send them a gift. Pray for them and love them. And never mind what they do. Let your conscience be clear before God. You give to the poor. God gave His Son as a gift to the whole world. Thanks be to God for His indescribable gift, because it was like no one else's gift. It was to the whole world. For God so loved the world, as well as His only Son. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son. That whoever... So I can offer this Savior to everybody in this auditorium this morning, because it says whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life. One or two of our missionaries sent this prayer letter, and it had this on it this Christmas. Who invented Christmas? Of course God did. He gift-wrapped the first Christmas present in swaddling clothes, celebrated in a stable. He sent the first Christmas greeting by an angel host, and turned on the first Christmas light to guide the wise men. On the first Christmas tree, God hung the gift of His Son, and on the tag He wrote, "To a world with love." Have you received the Christmas gift from God to your sinful heart by accepting Jesus Christ as your Savior? Don't leave that gift unopened, will you? How sad if you did. One Christmas we were expecting some strangers, visitors, overseas students, and we didn't want anyone to not have a gift, so under the Christmas tree we put a gift with everyone's name on. One person didn't come. And the gift stayed there for a while to see if they would come after Christmas to claim their gift. We sent word to them there was a gift for them under the tree, and there it was, all solitary, and in the end it was unclaimed. It's one of the saddest things, really, in the whole world, that God gave His Son to the world, and you could hear the message and understand that the offer is that you might be saved, you sinful heart, but you walk away and say, "I don't want that gift. Give me something else." Oh, I pray that nobody will be like that after this service. Word of prayer, then we'll sing our last carol. Our Father and our God, we do thank You for Your indescribable gift. We've tried to describe it in halting words, but we know if we can't ever adequately describe a sunset or a rose, how could we describe the gift of Your Son? We thank You that He hung upon the tree with this tag, "To a world with love." We pray that no one shall leave this gift unopened, unreceived. For we ask it in His name. Amen.